Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to come, and thank you for listening to our story. This is my husband, Seth, and my daughter, Tanzin. She is 8 months old. And again, my name is Crystal Gratzky. I'd like to share a little bit of background about what happened before the stroke, and then I'd like to share with you a few things that were helpful from the medical staff and just a few things that I experienced during and after the stroke. First of all, we wanted to have Tanzin a little bit early, and we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and I was so ready to be done with pregnancy, and we're really looking forward to having her. So we decided 2 days before her due date that we were going to go to Fairview Southdale Mall to go on a walk and try to get things going. Well, we got about a mile from our home, and we were involved in a minor three-car accident, which sent me to the hospital for monitoring. I was there for a little while. They said, we're going to have to keep you for longer. And a long story short, I ended up having Tanzin while we were there. So Seth just quick ran home and got a few things from home, and we were there. The labor went fine. Everything was going really well, and they moved us up to the room where we were planning on staying for the next couple of days for recovery and getting to know our daughter, Tanzin. She wants to say her part as well. As we were there, my husband's family, some of his family came to visit us, and we were talking, and things were going great. And about 9 hours after I gave birth to Tanzin, all of a sudden I got really dizzy. My vision split and started spinning, and I closed my eyes, and I just couldn't really see anymore. And I said, I'm really, really dizzy. So my mother-in-law tried to get me a cold washcloth, and within a few minutes, I was not responsive. And I guess my husband was right there. He said my entire left or right side of my body stopped moving. My face was sagging. I didn't know anything. So over the course of the next couple of hours, I only remember a few seconds here and there. Immediately, he got a hold of the nurse, and she brought in, I think, about 6 emergency medical staff, and they rushed me down to get a CAT scan. And throughout this whole time, I would come in and out just a little tiny bit, enough to see a face right in my face asking me a question, and I thought that I was answering them, but I guess I didn't know that I had a baby, I didn't know my last name. And when they would ask me questions, I would answer with illogical responses, such as, I've been part of a lady's Bible study, or English grammar rules. I would say things that didn't make any sense at all. And I didn't realize that I wasn't making sense, and I didn't realize that all this was happening. And every time I would come to, I would try to, even with my eyes closed, I was trying to locate where in the room Seth was. And then also, why was he crying? I couldn't figure out why he was crying because I didn't realize that I was in trouble. So we did all that. Thankfully, his parents and 2 of his sisters were there, and both of them are pastors. And so as he was given the options of what to do with me, his father prayed with the doctors for wisdom as Seth was left with several very unpromising choices. In his mind, they sounded horrible. One, we could not choose the TPA route, and my brain would just continue to die, which is not a great future. Another one, we could choose to do that, and I had an epidural, so I could either go paralyzed, and I would be stuck like that, or I could have a lot of problems with bleeding because I had just given birth, so I could be stuck with that, and that was really dangerous, or it could actually work. Well, since that was the best choice, and they prayed about it and they decided that it was worth trying, they did choose TPA. And within 20 minutes, my toes started moving. And I had no idea why they were so excited that my toes were moving, because I was starting to come back at that point, and they're like, your toes are moving. And I was like, okay, I've always been able to move my toes. So because I had no idea the extent of what had happened, I had no idea that 2 hours had passed. I had no idea about any of that. So gradually, I started hearing things again. I started moving my toes, my fingers, my hand, my leg, the right side of my body. I started opening my eyes again. But it wasn't until about 12 hours after everything started happening again that my vision actually corrected itself. It was split for at least 12 hours after that happened, because it was the first to go and it was the last to come back. So the next couple of days were filled with a lot of tests, lots and lots of tests, MRI, testing to see if I had a hole in my heart, testing for more blood clots, testing to see if I could eat and swallow properly, all sorts of different testings and things. Bless you. More and more blood tests, and I was so tired of tests by the end of that. But I'm so thankful to God for the quick thinking and the wisdom that He gave the doctors and the nurses and the medical staff to do what they needed to do to save my brain. Without that, you know, and even to my husband, Seth, because had he not noted, or had I been asleep at the time, we would have had no idea what was going on, and it would have caused much more damage, and it probably would have been permanent. So I am so thankful for that. And then to even hear afterward, I had no idea this was happening, but to hear how the staff on ICU and the medical staff and the OB staff and everybody was there, and everybody was discussing what needed to happen, and one would say, well, we need to do this. And the other one would say, but we can't do that because she just had a baby. And then the one would say, well, we have to do this. Well, we have to do this. And they were working together to figure out what needed to happen because my situation was so abnormal. And I'm so thankful that they did that. Some things that were so encouraging and helpful to me were the medical staff was so caring. I was just floored by their attitudes. They went so far above and beyond what they needed to treat me physically. I would have doctors come in their street clothes in the following days to see how I was. They weren't on call. They weren't working at that point, but they would come in and just say, and it was very encouraging because they'd say, wow, you look really good. I was like, well, thank you. Things like that, or from the nurse who would put chapstick on my lips at that first night, to the nurse who stood there as I sobbed because I wasn't with my baby. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I was going to die. I had no idea. And throughout this entire process, I never really knew if I was going to die or not. Like through the emergency situation, unfortunately, after the stroke, I was awake for the emergency procedures that they had to do to keep me from bleeding to death. And I was so scared, but I was too nervous to even ask Seth, am I dying? Am I going to die? Because they were talking about, I could hear how they were talking about what they needed to do to keep me going. But I praise the Lord that he gave wisdom. And so, she's eating happily. I'm just so thankful for those nurses and those doctors who really genuinely actually cared about me, not just as a patient, but as a person. And they would ask about me. And one nurse even showed me on her cell phone, like, dogs that they were going to buy her and her sister. And I was like, some sense of normalcy in my life, you know, as I'm connected to everything, to even just be showed a puppy or whatever it was on a cell phone was so helpful to me. Also, they took excellent care of my baby as I wasn't there, and they really helped my husband because he was up on the floor with her all the time. He wasn't in my room. I was in ICU. And I even was told there were nurses holding her and crying over her because she wasn't with me. And that just touched my heart. That was so sweet of all of those people to just be so genuinely caring about our family. Nurses would go in and wake him up in the morning so he could know when my testings were going to happen, or they'd keep him involved. And that was just really, really neat. So eventually, they discharged Hansen, but I still wasn't allowed to go home. So another thing that was a huge blessing is that they allowed Seth and Tansen to stay on the stroke floor with me. I think that was a little bit odd to have a baby because she cried that night, and I'm sure people were like, what is going on? But I think hopefully they enjoyed it, a little something different. So one funny thing, when I got moved up to the stroke floor, I had to take one of those tests to see how my brain was doing. Well, I guess I did extremely well. They were surprised at how well I did on everything. I remembered the words. I remembered the shapes. I knew my shapes. I could put an X on the triangle. I could do all those things. Until I got to the circle where they said, put the markings on the clock and make it 10 to 11. And I was like, oh, no. I am horrible at telling time. So, like, always. I taught third grade, and I taught them how to tell time, and I have no idea how they turned out because I am horrible at telling time. So I made the markings, and I did the numbers okay, and then I drew two lines, and they were the same length. And I was like, one of those is supposed to be shorter. And the nurse was like, well, which one is supposed to be shorter? And I was like, And so finally I crossed out one and I looked at her and she's like, And I was like, well, and then I was like, I promise, I'm just really bad at telling time. And she looks at Seth and she looks at another, my mother-in-law and a friend from church that was in the room. And like, as if to ask them, is she really this bad at telling time? She's like, because I really need to know if you're this part of your brain was affected. And they're like, no, really? She, I was like, I promise, I'm just really bad. So since I was supposed to mark 10 to 11, that night I actually saw 10 to 11 on the real clock, and so we took a picture of it to prove that I did that I did know what time it was. Some things that happened after my stroke, some things that I dealt with personally was fear. The first night that I was alone in my room, like the first night after the stroke, they woke me up every 15 minutes, every half an hour, all of those different times. So there was always someone there. But the second, I think it was the second night after the stroke, I was then by myself for larger chunks of time. And by that point, I was extremely dizzy. And so Seth was on the floor with Tamsin, up on a different floor. And I would close my eyes to try to go to sleep and get extremely dizzy. So then I just got so afraid. I would think, what if I'm going to die? Then, the next thing was, okay. They just said, don't worry about time. Thank you. All right. So 2 hours later, Dr. Jim. So then I just didn't know, am I going to die? Am I going to die here by myself? Is this dizziness because I'm going to have another stroke? And at that point, I was just so afraid. And then I didn't know the difference. She's my first baby, so I didn't know, is this stuff caused by stroke? Is this stuff caused by having a baby? I don't know what to look for. I don't know what to expect. So I was extremely afraid. I wasn't afraid of what would happen to me after I died, because I know that Jesus Christ has died to pay for my eternal life. But I didn't want to die, and I didn't want to leave them, and the thoughts of, well, what will Seth do without, and what would Tamsin do without a mommy, and what would happen? So those things, I was afraid. But so many people were praying for Tamsin and Seth and myself and all of the medical staff as well. So that was a real encouragement. Some things that were discouraging were all of the different changes, and I don't say this against you, Dr. Zinka, but dietary changes. I love donuts. I love them. And Dr. Zubkov had me change my diet dramatically, and now I eat a ton of spinach salads, and I really, really like it, amazingly. But dietary changes, changes because of having a baby, sleepless nights, things like that. And then all of a sudden, I had a ton of doctor's appointments to try to figure out, and well, what's this medicine called? Coumadin? And vitamin K. What, you know, where is vitamin K found, and how does, and learning everything about all these different things that I had never had to think about before. So that was kind of discouraging, but thankfully I have an awesome husband who took care of our daughter, who took care of me, who kept a little binder and just, she wants to say how things were too. So I am so thankful for them and my church family. People brought us meals. People did so much for us to help us in the area of discouragement. And I am so thankful that the Lord blessed us that I didn't have to do any therapy after the stroke. And it did not even cross my mind until somebody, maybe a few weeks later, said, so what type of therapy did you have to do? And I was like, therapy? Oh, I guess most people have to, but I didn't have to, which was just absolutely amazing and a blessing to me. Some questions I faced after the stroke: will my life ever be back to normal? You know, will this ever, am I going to have to be on Coumadin forever? We love to travel. Are we going to be able to travel now? Because a lot of our traveling is 8-9 hour plane rides overseas. So is that going to be out because of blood clots, because of different things? Am I going to have to, you know, or will I be able to have more children? Just all of these different questions and things that I was dealing with right away. It was scary and it was discouraging. But God is so good and he was in control of all of those situations. And I am off of Coumadin, which I'm so excited for. When she turned, 7 months. So 7 months after the stroke, I was able to get off of Coumadin. And another blessing was my INR nurses. They were amazing. They were so sweet. And it's kind of funny because every once in a while I go by Fairview and I was like, I wonder if I should stop in and say hi to my friends. but these nurses were so sweet that when I'd come in, they would be understanding about everything that was going on and asking me about my sleepless nights or asking me. And when I had to go back onto Lovenox again because we couldn't get my levels figured out, then, you know, they probably almost cried with me. And just, they were really, really sweet in all of those areas. And that was such a blessing to me. So I am so thankful for all of you, for everything that you do in people's lives, because every single one of you have an impact in the lives of others. Just like all of those nurses impacted me, and I would actually be willing to go back and see them. And like sometimes I actually think, I wish I could see so-and-so again so I could thank her. Or I wish I could see so-and-so again so I could tell them how meaningful such-and-such was in my life. You are all doing that for people. And I thank God for his willingness to give your brains the ability to understand the human brain and its intricacies, but also that you are willing to love other people and to care for other people. So I thank you, and I praise the Lord for you.
Follow. Welcome. I have Jim Johnson up here.